Hello and welcome to another episode of the PA Path Podcast. Before we get started, we would like to extend a special thank you to our episode sponsor, Aquifer. Today we speak with Dr. Beth Bouye. Dr. Bouye is the program director at the Tufts University School of Medicine PA program in Boston, Massachusetts. Her career spans back to 2002, where she began as a family medicine PA in primary care. She has focused on adolescent care and health promotion disease prevention, and she began her academic career in 2013 prior to becoming program director at Tufts in 2018. Beth, thank you so much for joining Steph and I today on the podcast. We're excited to learn about Tufts University School of Medicine PA school and also about your own path to becoming a PA and what you've done over the last couple decades as a PA. Let's start with that. How did you decide to become a PA?
Yeah, thanks for having me and thanks for asking that question. I feel like I share this story a lot with new applicants to our program because it's always the question of like, how did you get there yourself? And so my story actually starts way back when I was a little girl, 11 years old. And it's a hard story. My father actually died when I was 11 and he was battling alcoholism at the time. And so I grew up as a little girl thinking that this fairy tale idea that there's got to be some way that I can do something in the future to prevent another little kid from having to endure something like that themselves. In high school, I was a very strong math science person, and I had high school teachers that were encouraging me to pursue something like medicine when I got to my undergraduate university. So I actually went to Syracuse University for my undergrad in upstate New York. I was a first-generation college student and got really discouraged after my first semester because I had a pre-med advisor who really was saying things like, maybe you should consider going to nursing school. At the time, my GPA was like a 3.5, which wasn't awful, and it was my first semester, and I was really shocked, but also felt like I didn't have any other place to turn in order to get good guidance on where to go next. So I actually ended up working at a hospital in upstate New York, and that's where I really got introduced to the PA profession. So I was working like 20 hours a week in the hospital setting, and there was this large population of PAs that were working in cardiothoracic surgery. So they became like mentors to me. They helped me understand what the profession was, what I needed to do in order to pursue the profession, and I really started to think that might be the right fit for me. So I went back to my pre-med advisor and said, hey, I think this PA profession might be the right fit. And they said, Beth, I don't know what the PA profession is. Now, I was in college in the late 90s, and so that was very commonplace back in the 90s. And colleges are much better now, though I do still hear from some applicants that their pre-health advisors didn't know much about the PA profession as well. I really had to figure it out on my own with the guidance of this group of cardiothoracic PAs and really try and figure out how to make my path in the PA profession. So I graduated from Syracuse, took a year off, got some more patient care experience. I only applied to two programs back then because, again, people weren't applying to all of these programs. So I applied to Rutgers and Quinnipiac. I got into both and ultimately decided Quinnipiac was the right fit for me. So that's how I like started my journey in PA.
When you talk about that right fit, I think sometimes when applicants get an opportunity for a couple different ones, there's often that anxiety to it. Can you recall what it was about Quinnipiac that pulled you that direction? Not Rutgers, of course, but we all get a kind of a feel about something.
Yeah, I actually really liked both programs, and it was, I remember, a really hard decision back then. And to be truthful, I was engaged at the time, and my husband was an elementary school teacher, and we found him positions much easier in Connecticut. And so I ultimately made a decision really based on my partner and where we were both going to be able to thrive together. And I have to say, I feel like that is a really important piece. I see students come to PA programs and really have a hard time because they're not with their significant other. And so for me, I think it was the right call, was to go to a place where we both were going to be together and be able to thrive and have the support of each other. But I did love the Rutgers program. There was nothing wrong with that program at all. It really was just the location for me.
I'd like to follow up on something that you mentioned when you were talking about your path, and that was being a first generation student. I too was a first generation college student. And I really don't think that it was until I myself got into the education world that I really recognized the challenge that posed to me when I was going through school. I'd like to hear a little bit about your perceptions on the challenges that first generation status creates for students, and maybe a little more about how it impacted you, but also maybe even taking that a step further, translating that to your program. And when you look at applicants that may have had some barriers or challenges, or first generation students that might have had just a little more rough start, how do you look at applicants from that perspective?
Yeah, no, great questions. I would have to agree that I'm not sure while I was an undergrad, I could really wrap my head around how my experience might have been different than other people who had parents, let's say, or people around them, brothers and sisters who had already gone through the college process. I think it's been after the fact that I really started to see, wow, I didn't have the supports in places that could have made me succeed even more. So I feel like it was really having to learn to balance life in ways that maybe my other classmates weren't balancing life. For example, I worked 20 hours a week at hospital and went to undergrad full time. And that made me, I think, stronger, built resilience and grit in ways that maybe it wouldn't have if I didn't have to do that balance. But I also think it adds a major stress and a major burden to you. And maybe you don't thrive academically. Maybe I could have been a 4.0 student if I didn't have all these other things to balance. So for me, I feel like now that I'm at a program, we're looking at candidates, we actually talk about wanting a diverse class, and we recognize first generation college students as one of the pieces that makes a real rich and diverse class. I think people coming from all different lived experiences and backgrounds really help add to the conversation that happens in the classroom and bring perspectives in that are really important for us to hear. And we know that everyone has bumps along the way. It doesn't matter who you are. And so for us, and this is something I wanted to mention, is that grades are, yes, they're important. You have to meet the minimum for requirements, but they're not it for us. We really do a holistic approach in trying to understand who our candidates are, what obstacles they have overcome in the past, because I really think that builds who you're going to be when you're in PA school and you're faced with obstacles and rigor that you haven't seen even in undergraduate education.
I think that's really true. And as I mentioned before, truly, I think it's been in retrospect that I've really been able to see where those challenges were. And I think that I'm sure like you, I have a special place in my heart for people who are first generation college students. And sure. I do think that lived experience is a very different lived experience. And they first generation students bring something very different to the table. So you graduated from Quinnipiac. And then where did your path take you?
Yeah, so I stayed in Connecticut for the first 4 years after I graduated from Quinnipiac. I knew family medicine was going to be my home. I knew that before I even went to PA school. Again, I think rooted back in my 11-year-old self and who I wanted to be. Family medicine is all about continuity of care and education and screening and really trying to make the biggest impact we can on health and health outcomes. I landed at a practice in Durham, Connecticut, which is a small little town in Connecticut, with two who had never had a PA before. But one of the docs was a PA before he became an MD. So it was a cool environment. And I worked in a way where I was really managing my own patient panel in family medicine, which I loved. So I had my own patients that were seeing just me, and my docs were there to support, collaborate, work alongside me, but they really gave me the responsibility of my own patient panel. And so it was newborn all the way through geriatrics. I had newborn babies that I was caring for very early on in that family medicine.
What a unique opportunity. I was also the first PA in our practice. I did internal medicine, primary care, and there's so much to being the first in terms of helping the team understand how to describe what you are and what you do and what your scope is, and even how just to introduce you to patients who are calling. Early in my career, they would say, the doctor is fully booked. I guess you could see the PA. It's like, when I heard that, I'm like, well, that's one way to do it. But if we want to keep in business, we might want to think of a different way to say it.
Right. Can we say that a little differently? It's funny that you say that, Kevin, actually, because we took out an ad in the town newspaper And I remember the photographer came in and had both of my physicians flanking me on each side. And then I wrote the article with him about what is a PA and all his resources from AAPA in order to educate the town on who I was.
Yeah, that's brilliant. I'm sure the benefit of having a doc who had already been a PA, he or she fully understood what those challenges could be for them. So that's
for sure. Yeah.
So tell us, you moved into more of an adolescent focus at a boarding school later on. You want to talk a little bit about that before we start gearing towards Tufts?
Yeah. So after 4 years in Connecticut, my husband had an opportunity to take a job opportunity at a boarding school in Western Mass. We really didn't know much about boarding schools. Growing up in upstate New York, not many people went to a boarding school, but it seemed like in Connecticut, Massachusetts, people sent their kids to boarding school if they could. So we had a lot of learning to do, but we went to a boarding school and lived on campus in a house like attached to the dorm. And I had an opportunity to either work off campus at a local family medicine, or they presented an opportunity for me to work on campus with the physician who ran the health center there. And so I decided it was an opportunity for me to dive deeper into a population that I felt like I could do that education around healthy behaviors, because I had seen so many adults who were trying to reverse their unhealthy choices. And I thought, ooh, this is the population that we can actually like impact. So maybe they won't have all of those changes to make in the future. So I started working as a PA at the boarding school's, they used to call it an infirmary, but like their health center. And I had my doc, and he was full-time, and then he retired. And I was given the opportunity to take over as director of health services. So I actually ran the health center there, which was an amazing leadership opportunity for me. And my doc stayed on as my supervising doc, and he would come in 4 hours a week and he would be on call for me if I needed him. But I basically ran the health center 24/7 from September to May, because that's when they were on campus. And it was predominantly boarding students. So we had about 650 adolescents on campus that were boarding. And then there were some day students as well. And so I got to introduce curriculum into the dorms. And of course, I saw acute visits. I did a lot of suturing up hockey boys after they fell on the ice, for example, or concussion. There was a lot of concussions at the boarding school, a lot of mental health for sure that needed to be attended to in that population. But it was such a unique opportunity to be. That was like my first leadership role as a PA. And I thought, wow, I can do more than just seeing patients. I can have bigger impacts when I'm at the table.
I love that you mentioned really that focus on health promotion and disease prevention, because I think that's a real opportunity. In my experience and my observation, I feel like this is an area where nurse practitioners have the corner on the market on really doing a great job of focusing on care rather than sick care. And that's something that I really emphasize to our students, and that is you should be spending as much time, if not more time, thinking about and partnering with the patient on promoting their own care and doing as much prevention as you can, as you do focusing on the problems that they may already have. So is that something that you feel like at Tufts you also, it seems like that's a, you know, maybe a theme that's close to your heart as well. So is that implemented into the curriculum there?
Yeah, it actually was there before I even got to Tufts. So I've always said to my students and to alum as they're getting ready to find their first jobs, I'm a true believer that if your values and beliefs don't align with an institution that you're trying to work for or be a part of, it's not going to be a good fit. And for me, when I was diving into PA education, I really wanted to find a space that was the right fit for who I am and what I believed. And so actually Tufts mission talked about health promotion and disease prevention before I even walked in the door. And so it just felt like the right space. We have this primary care medicine course that runs all three semesters of the didactic year. And that is really a heavy focus, is health education and wellness. We actually have nutrition as part of our program as well. It's like one of the first courses they take. And what an amazing start to think about nutrition before we even talk about disease throughout the rest of the curriculum.
That's really interesting. I've been exploring this for U of A here in Arizona. We are trying to develop a brand new program, and it gives you the unique opportunity, as Steph, I'm sure you can totally attest, to really think creatively about what's important. And We happen to have a gentleman on our advisory board who is a certified lifestyle medicine. And I just had a physician join us from the University of Iowa who also has a strong interest in wellness. And when we think about wellness from the lens of first student success, it makes a lot of sense to me to be like thinking about nutrition and exercise and meditation and all these things that honestly, for an old guy like me, might have thought a little too new age, 90 at the time, but actually works. The science is strong. I was dumb back then, but I'm much smarter now that I take time to meditate. So I'm really delighted to hear that Tufts has that, and that's a big focus because clearly it aligns with kind of what you were already gearing towards when you were in clinical practice.
For sure. Let's take a quick break for a word from our episode sponsor, Aquifer. With so much to cover in so little time, today's PA program directors and faculty need clinical learning tools they can trust. Enter nonprofit Aquifer. They provide cases, science integrations, formative assessments, and more to ensure students hone their clinical skills. Clinicians at academic medical centers write the cases to cover topics recommended by clerkship directors. Visit aquifer.org, that's AQUIFER.org, to learn more.
Let's talk about Tufts. I'm so delighted we got a chance to interview you because I worked in Boston for 3 years, and Tufts has such an incredible reputation. All of Boston does for medicine. But PA is a little later to the game in Boston. Obviously, Northeastern has been there for a while. The UMass pharmacy program was there for a while. But Tufts and Harvard, those have been like the holdouts for so many years. Tell us when Tufts started, how it finally got over the hurdle, and what are the things that you're so proud of with your program?
Yeah. Our founding program director was Richard Murphy, and he actually was a PA at Tufts Medical Center for a long time, well over 35 years. And he was well connected with the Northeastern PA program because he actually went to the Northeastern PA program and he was teaching there. And Tufts and Northeastern had a connection. I don't know what that connection truly was historically, not well enough to speak about it. But at some point, Tufts said, why are we continuing to just go over to Northeastern? It really aligns with the mission of the School of Medicine to actually educate a variety of healthcare providers in order to support that team approach moving forward. So they actually asked Rich Murphy to be the founding program director for our institution. And so he took in his first class in 2013. They interviewed in 2012, started in 2013, graduated in 2015. So when I walked in the door at Tufts, they were graduating their very first class of PA students. And we just celebrated our 10-year anniversary last fall. We had a ton of alumni back, which I think speaks highly of the community that we create at Tufts. We're only a class of 50, so it is a small group, and it's a group that really gets to know each other, but also the faculty and the staff. For me, I think about my own program director, Cindy Lord, when I was at Quinnipiac, and she has really been a mentor, and it's been 22 years since I graduated from that program. And I think about that lifelong connection and relationship that she committed to for me. And I want to commit that same relationship to all of the alumni that come through our program. I want them to be able to call me 10 years from now when they say, Beth, I'm thinking about going into PA education. And I want to be able to talk about what that looks like. So that's really who we are. And we are a young program still, 10 years, still young. But I feel like we're really creating strong PAs out there and making a name for ourselves in the Boston area. And it is what the school wants, right? We have such an amazing opportunity to have nutrition and public health and dental and PT, OT, all right on our campus, that why wouldn't we have that PA program to really round out that team?
And have you found as a leader, like setting that tone for the culture, have you had challenges with that? Or is it just that that was really the nature of the beast already, that it was easy to shape it that way?
Yeah, it's the nature of what our program has been. If anyone goes to a info session, we always have students there for Q&A, and that is what they talk about. Unscripted is that the culture of our program is not competitive. It's not, we don't rank our students. I never know who's number one in the class because that's not what's important. It's really 50 students walking in the door, and we want 50 students walking out successfully at the end. And that's the environment that we're trying to create.
So there are a number of things that set Tufts apart. I'm sure you can tell us about some of those and some of the things that make it unique. But I do know that this is one of the programs, one of the handful of programs that offers a dual PA and PH degree. So would you talk a little bit about that? And if there are students that might be interested in that dual degree, what advice you might give them to prepare or be competitive applicants for that program?
Yeah. So once our program got up and running, when it was right when I was walking in the door. So in 2015 is when we began our dual degree program. And we have public health and community medicine at Tufts, and they train people to have a master's in public health and do public health work in the future. So really all of our programs, MD program, for example, has this opportunity to do a dual degree, to walk out the door with both your MPH and your PA degree. The idea behind it is really trying to give these students who choose to do the dual degree the opportunity to really integrate what they're learning clinically during their PA program with their public health knowledge. And we're hoping that, I know that in the public health degree, they're focusing on equality, for example, social determinants of health, community needs assessments. And what we're hoping is that the people who choose that degree are people who see themselves as a future PA being a leader, right? Whether it's health advocacy or health policy work, whether it's research, or even at their institutions doing quality improvement projects in order to improve different aspects of medicine. So that's really who the degree is for. Yes, we all want to care for patients, but someone who also wants to take a step further and start to think about the bigger picture of public health and medicine and how they're hand in hand, right? They cannot really be separated at all. So that dual degree has started in 2015, and they become part of our class during their second year. So year one is all MPH work. And then year two, they become part of the PA class. They do their first didactic year, and then they do their clinical year after that. And so they finish with a dual degree in PA and MPH. What's unique about our program, because there are dual degree programs across the country, is that there's one credit of the MPH work that actually runs all 3 years. So it's called an integration course. And this is really where that work gets done, is we might bring in speakers that are working in health policy, and so that we can help them like visualize where they could be in the future or the things that they could do. If there's a PA that's heavy into research, bringing them in order for them to really see how to start to put all those pieces together.
That's great, because like connecting those dots and helping them integrate where the interdigitation of those two programs meet together is really, I think, probably really useful and helpful for them to contextualize what they're learning. So I know it's still relatively new, and I'm just guessing you haven't had a lot of graduates that have done the dual program, but in what ways have you seen the folks that have graduated with that dual degree then go on to apply that maybe differently than other graduates from your program?
Yeah, we have probably close to 25 graduates at this point with the dual degree. And a lot of them, when they're getting ready to graduate, are looking for opportunities where majority of the job is going to be clinical work, but that the institution also has space for them to begin MPH work as well. In the Boston area, there are some institutions that are very highly regarded, knowing that they're going to have like dual degree MDs, like MD MPHers. And so we know that's a space that if our PA MPH alum walk into, that there's going to be work for them to do. It might be that they're working at an institution where a lot of people are doing actual patient research. And so that's how their MPH work can help them. So we had one alum, for example, that was going to be 4 days clinical and 1 day of MPH work. And she was actually going to do work for that office around quality improvement. And so she went out looking for that. Some don't want to engage right away with the MPH work. They really just want to get their clinical feet grounded before they take on the MPH work as well. We have had one MPHer that graduated last year actually get the National Health Service Scholarship. And so she's actually working in an underserved area out in California, where she's really putting her MPH to work along with her PA clinical degree.
Beth, that's just amazing. What a great way to end this. I think that it must be so interesting for you now that you're the one making decisions with your colleagues about who gets into Tufts, to think about your own story and how that tragedy for you at a young age led you to be driven to do something bigger than yourself. And now you see that in many of the applications that you read. I'm sure it's really interesting for you, huh?
Yeah, I think it shows me that I made the right decisions, right? I've pursued a career that I've been passionate about. I've put myself in a position of now being able to educate the next generation and encourage people whose story might be similar to mine or reminiscent of mine, to that they're going to be okay and that they're going to be able to do this and that they're going to have impact for sure.
Yeah, we always like to give our guests the final word. Is there anything that we didn't get a chance to cover yet that you were hoping to share about your program or the profession?
I think one other thing just about our program, which might be a little bit unique, is in our value statement, we talk about humanism and social responsibility. And I think people don't always know what that means for us as a program. And it can sometimes be nerve-wracking for people to hear this, but we actually have a community service requirement. It's 40 hours. Like once you get into the program, while you're in the program, we actually have 40 hours of community service that our students are responsible for. And our MD program students also have community service work that they're doing. So it's consistent with the mission of our School of Medicine. And it's not something to just check the box and say, yes, I did it. It really speaks about the values of our program, of the School of Medicine, and of Tufts University. It's an opportunity to give back to the community that we're being educated in. And that's really what I want people to see. It's not something to just do. There is something to be found in volunteering with people and hearing their stories and knowing that those are going to be your patients in the future and really learning how to take care of them in a more holistic approach.
That is amazing. Thank you so much for your time and your insights today, Beth.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
We want to thank our guest, Dr. Beth Bouillier, for her time and insights into the Tufts University School of Medicine PA program. Her thoughts as a first-generation student and the perspectives she offered for applicants to her program are invaluable and gave us all additional information to make the application process easier to understand. Tufts' focus as a dual degree program as well and the work that their MPH graduates are doing was quite impressive. We would also like to give a big thanks again to our episode sponsor, Aquifer. Tune in next time as we speak with the leaders of our profession, both nationally and worldwide.